Tired of buying a bunch of different shorts for working out, looking good, and just life in general? Try Bird Dogs. They feel like gym shorts, but look like khaki shorts. The ultra-breathable fabric keeps you cool, and the built-in liner is an added layer of support. To top it all off, Bird Dog shorts look so good, you can wear them anywhere. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm here. Leave me alone. Just kidding. You don't have to leave me alone. In fact, it's better if you don't leave me alone. That wouldn't be great radio if you just left me alone. So please don't do that. Hey, we get to say the magical Thursday night words. Are you ready? Producer Jay, would you like to say the magical Thursday night words? I know you know that I know that you know what the magical words are. You ready? Do I need to give you a countdown? A drum roll? Can you do this without... Don't stutter. Don't stutter.
Happy Almost Friday.
Boom! Happy Almost Friday, baby. That's it. We celebrate that. How pathetic are we... Oh, not we, sorry. Not Jay. I'm the pathetic one. I celebrate Happy Almost Friday.
I observe.
You do observe. We need to make it a holiday, actually. Is there a date on that foo-foo calendar that has, you know, Happy Donut Day and National This Day and National Dog Day and National Adopt-a-Dog Day? I mean, there's so many different versions of the Dog Day, which I love. But should we potentially get one on the calendar that has to do with observing Fridays?
Like a National Friday Day?
Yes, like a national day to honor Fridays. I mean, what more can we ask for, really? Can we potentially get it as a day off?
Oh, that'd be nice. Now we're talking.
Yes, now we're talking. See, I told you, once we get into the summer season, and we are still a couple days away, I guess, but as we talked about last night, it feels as though summer has already begun. People in my own life, friends, family, sending me routine text messages now, happy summer, or I'm doing this for summer, or this is my favorite activity for summer, which is why we jumped the gun a little bit on the show last night, because we were talking about the boys of summer, and no, NFL, I'm not referring to you. We were talking about the boys of summer and baseball stepping into the center ring, the circus, or the spotlight. I use both of those metaphors. Because why? Well, the sports world is a circus. It definitely is. And so I always envision it as a three-ring circus. And when you get to be in the center ring, it of course means you have more attention, right? The spotlights are on you, and theoretically more people are watching you and talking about you. The buzz is about you. Well, baseball often gets the shaft in the early start of the season, even though we get pretty buzzy about opening day and baseball returning. To be fair, baseball doesn't really have the center ring until hoops and hockey are done. And it definitely doesn't get the attention that it deserves a lot of times because of everything else that's happening in the sports world. But now is your time, baseball. This is our salute to you. So as we were welcoming the boys of summer into the big top, under the big top, well, it got us thinking about summer plans. It got us thinking about what we have to look forward to in the next few months. And so we had a lot of fun looking over all of your responses to our show question 24 hours ago, which was about your favorite summer vacation destination. Where are you headed this summer? And boy, some of you have some pretty cool plans, some pretty cool bucket list items. And so for that reason, we felt like we were very much in summer mode, even going back to Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Jay has already been on his kayak more in June than he was all of last year. Jay is firmly in summer mode. I haven't even taken my golf clubs and put them in Princess Leia yet. I haven't even been to the driving range yet. Maybe I will rectify that on Saturday morning. But yeah, I feel like I'm pretty behind when it comes to summer. It was one hella spring. It's one hectic hella spring. But now that it's nearly done, I am ready to be in full summer mode. And we always mark full summer mode as we usher in the Friday. Boom, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you have no idea what I'm talking about and you think I sound like a total lunatic, well, my motto is find people in life who are your kind of crazy. So if you would like to be our kind of crazy, just stick around for a bit and no doubt we will rub off on you. So if you could, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you're new or if you're not and just want to say hello, we are happy to have you. It was definitely a day in which I, again, felt the creative juices flowing. Hey, we're not beholden to major events going on. But even as I was saying that, well, the U.S. Open starts, and then we get the culmination, game four, of the Angels and Rangers. And why does that matter? Well, because Shohei Ohtani was on the mound, and he is having a torrid month at the plate. Did you know coming into tonight's game between the Angels and Rangers, Ohtani had 22 hits in the month of June? It's June 15th, and he's already got 22 hits in the month of June, even before he stepped to the plate in this final game of the four-game set between the Rangers and the Angels. It's also really important, of course, because the Angels and Rangers and the rest of the AL West, they've established a pretty impressive pace. Now, not quite as impressive as what we've seen in the AL East, but even as we think about, and I know it's June, so nobody at me, even as we think about potential wild card races and also the implications at baseball's trade deadline, it does matter how many teams are above 500 and are in contention. And right now, the majority of the American League West and East, so you've got 10 teams, 8 of them are contenders. And I'm including Seattle in that equation. Seattle is one game below 500. I do think that Seattle has the pieces. And so I'm including Seattle. But you've got 8 of the 10 teams in just those two divisions that are contenders, that are going to either be division winners, obvi, or are going to be wild card contenders. And so, yeah, even in mid-June, these races and these battles in the American League matter. And we've seen that the Angels were kind of struggling to keep their heads above water. But they put together a surge now, and Shohei Ohtani is a major reason why. His 22 hits, his... Do you know, even after he pitches, he still stays in the game as a DH, right? Even after he pitches, he still stays in the game. Most pitchers... And now he's younger, of course, but even guys his age, most pitchers are spent when they're done pitching. They're already in the clubhouse. They've got ice on their arms. They hit the showers. They're eating. Ohtani stays in the game. And it's a good thing he does because they desperately need his bat. We're going to get to Angels Rangers because it was a pretty cool ebb and flow, a back and forth. Also, Bruce Bochy gets ejected and missed the fireworks toward the end of the game. So we've got a little baseball, but even before we get to games, I think it's important to talk about the latest in Oakland and also the Oakland mayor fighting back. Now, we know that she'd tweeted, she'd kind of tried to put the city of Oakland's narrative out there and their story. But I was really interested to hear her detail how close the city of Oakland was to having not just a proposal in place, or they have a proposal, not just an agreement in place, but to actually breaking ground. Wait until you hear what she has to say. And then Rob Manfred. So you can decide as you hear these two, and I get it, both of them are politicians. Shang Tao is a politician. That's her job. Rob Manfred plays one on TV. sometimes not very good at it. And I know there are a lot of people who think he's extremely disingenuous. I'm not a huge fan of the job that he's done since he took over as commissioner. I feel like a lot of his efforts have been misplaced, though he finally did, after how many attempts, finally did strike it rich with the new pace of play rules. What's interesting is I was watching Angels Rangers tonight. I was going back and forth between the baseball game and the U.S. Open, and I would go back to the baseball game after a few minutes of watching golf, and I'd have to rewind. And now it is that you can't. So I have a back button. Do you guys have a back button on your remote? And my back button goes back, I think, 30 seconds. Well, now you miss a couple of pitches if you go back 30 seconds. Anyway, it's kind of interesting to have to adjust. It's perfect in football because the play clock is 30 seconds. And so when you, and most teams use a good portion of their play clock, not always, of course, if they're doing hurry up offense, but a lot of times it works so perfectly. If you miss a play, you just hit the back button on my remote and boom, you're right back to the beginning of the play again. It doesn't work in baseball anymore. All that to say that Rob Manfred has finally, I think, struck it rich in a couple of different areas. The fact that the lockout is no longer a bad memory or even a memory at all for baseball fans, I think, is significant. And the pace of play with the pitch clock, that's definitely changed. The numbers bear it out, but also the reaction to it. Fans are thrilled with what they're seeing. Fans, not so much pitchers. Craig Kimbrell, definitely not so much. Hitters, still adjusting. But the fans seem to really appreciate the fact that baseball is keeping a quicker pace now. So, Rob Manfred gives his side of the story. Sheng Tao gives Oakland's side of the story. And I want to do that first before we even get to baseball. Or meaning, before we even get to what happened on the field. Today. Thursday, June 15th, dead center of the month and a couple days before summer. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Last week, actually, on this show, we wrapped up the week by begging you, because I'm not above begging you, please, please, please send us a tweet or a Facebook post. Let us know where you're listening and how. And gosh, you all responded. In fact, all the way through the weekend, I was getting tweets and Facebook posts, right? So we know you're out there. We know you're listening. We would love for you to engage in our show question tonight. It's not as much fun as talking about your summer plans. I get that. But we try to keep you guessing. We don't want you to settle into a routine, get old and fat and happy. We want to keep your brain working. So there's a bunch of different coach and manager storylines that have taken prominent spots in the sports world over the past, you know what, even 6 months. We could even go back 6 months. And I said to producer Jay before the show that it feels like there's a bunch of, from every sport, a bunch of different headlines revolving around coaches and managers that it made me question, how important are coaches and managers? And for the purposes of this particular argument slash question, we'll just put them in the same category, okay? But you know, in baseball, they're called managers. In soccer, they're called managers. Obviously, in other sports, they're called coaches, but same. Think about the ones that, and I'm just going to list a few. The ones that have grabbed headlines the last few months. And Jay, if you want to jump in with a couple of others, you can. But the number of championship-winning coaches in the NBA who've been fired and have now shuffled through and found different jobs. Not Doc Rivers, to the best of my knowledge, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Even in a front office, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But think about the musical chairs in the NBA with coaches like Nick Nurse and Monty Williams and Ime Udoka. Now, his exit was a little bit different with the Celtics, but we're seeing coaches kind of shuffle through championship coaches. Mike Budenholzer, he's been part of different interviews, as has Doc Rivers. Frank Vogel finds another job after winning a championship with the Lakers in 2020. So it's this revolving door where coaches exit out one side of the revolving door, and then they come back in as the door goes around, right? So that's one area where we've really spent a lot of time talking about coaches. Another area that we've talked about, even going back to last November, a lot is this situation with Greg Berhalter, who was the manager of the U.S. men's national team for the World Cup and the years leading up to it to prep them for the World Cup. Remember, he was not renewed when his contract expired, and there was this big brouhaha with the Reyna family. Remember Claudio Reyna and his... So Claudio Reyna and his family having a beef with Greg Berhalter over how Greg, the manager, divvied out or did not divvy out playing time for Giovanni, or Gio is what they call him, Gio Reyna, who's the son of Claudio, who's now on the U.S. men's national team, or was. I don't even know if he still is. But that whole mess where the Reyna family and the Berhalter family went back and forth, and there were these allegations that were brought up that were uncovered by the Reyna family that went back to when Berhalter wasn't even married 20-something years ago and had to do with a domestic violence incident, or at least one that they called domestic violence. And so it just was it was ugly. It was messy and it was ugly. And there were interim coaches, interim managers filling in for the U.S. men's national team. But did you know Berhalter has now been hired again? So he was set to take another job. I don't exactly remember where it was. He was set to take another job as a manager, and he did not. He pulled out of that a couple days ago, and now we know why. Because the U.S. men's national team wants him back, or U.S. soccer wants him back. So there's another managing slash coaching headline. One that comes from Major League Baseball, even as we're talking about the Texas Rangers. How much does it matter that Bruce Bochy, with all his wisdom and experience, took over as their skipper? I think it matters. It's one reason why they're on top of the AL West. Same thing for Buck Showalter last year with the New York Mets. I know right now, Fire Buck has been trending on Twitter, but Buck Showalter had a lot to do with getting the Mets organized and moving forward and steady and leading them to 101 wins in 2022. And I'm not telling you managers and coaches can do everything. They're not magic potions, but they can make a difference. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, how much of a difference has he made with Trevor Lawrence and with the Jaguars in the wake of the disaster under Urban Meyer? You can't tell me that Nick Saban couldn't go to any other college football program in America and immediately make a difference. So there are coaches and managers who just by walking into the building make a difference. I think Brian Flores is one of those. And I do think that with... why am I forgetting what team he's with now? He was with the Steelers. He got hired in the NFC. Oh, Minnesota. My gosh, we just talked about it this week. I apologize. There goes the perfect show. Brian Flores getting hired after spending a year with Pittsburgh. Now the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. He's going to make a huge difference because of his discipline, his commitment to details and discipline. And while we're talking about football, I mean, the jury's out on Bill Belichick, right? Which I think is comical. But how many people no longer believe that he is a Hall of Fame coach or one of the best ever because Tom Brady's not there? I mean, that's also a debate that's taking place.
We don't have time for that.
In sports circles. I mean, if you were so good, well, then you'd be winning even post-Tom Brady.
I really can't control that.
That's not true. But yeah, there are coaches that you can plug into a particular situation and instantly there's credibility, there's equity, and there's a difference. But I'm not sure you can say that about every coach and every manager. So to that end, and those are just a few of the storylines that I feel like we've talked about over the last 6 months. Bruce Cassidy's another one. I do love that he goes by the nickname Butch. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think Bruce Cassidy made a major difference for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And the fact that he found some redemption after getting biffed by Boston means something. We just talked to Danny Webster last night, who covers the Golden Knights, and he talked about all the ways that Cassidy helped the Knights get to the promised land. I believe wisdom and experience are major factors in the success of a coach. And you know what? Even as we think about the Nuggets ticker tape parade, which turned violent, for heaven's sakes, my goodness. I thought they just had a parade last year. Shouldn't they know how to handle their liquor? It's the Nuggets, though, and it's been almost 50 years. Anyway, Michael Malone, first 3 years with the Nuggets, did not make the playoffs. He didn't. The team did not. And there was talk about firing him. But the Kroenkes decided not to. The Nuggets front office decided they would stick with Malone, and look what happened.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
You can smoke it all the way down the main street in Denver while you're celebrating the Larry O'Brien trophy. So my point is that consistency means something. Coaches may not always start out as the cure for everything that ails a franchise, but if you give them your patience and you invest in them, they learn and grow and get better too. Mike Malone needed 8 years. The Nuggets needed 8 years with him. But I also think that in addition to that, you can often see right away changes that experienced, veteran, accomplished coaches and managers make when they walk into a building. Athletes tend to listen more to guys who were in the arena. Do you not think that D'Amico Ryans is going to make a huge difference right away in Houston? I do, because he's already got the attention of the locker room. So as I was thinking about this, and I bounced it off producer Jay with all the various coaching and managing storylines, our question for this edition of the show, in a free-for-all Friday, in a foo-foo, no, it's not a foo-foo Friday. I don't even know what that means. In a free-for-all Friday, in a funky, feel-good Friday, who are the best coaches slash managers in sports? It's that simple. Who are the best coaches slash managers in sports? The ones who make a difference right away. Or maybe we should say the ones who can make a difference right away. So that'll be our show question. Producer Jay is going to put a post up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. We'd love to connect with you. And as always, we love to know where and how you're listening if you want to throw that in. A lot of times you all post without a name. You don't own it. I say own it, baby. So coming up, Ohtani, incredible month of June. Awesome series for the Angels against the Rangers. But even before that, Rob Manfred explains how he feels so bad for the fans in Oakland. Is it bad that I rolled my eyes when he said, I feel bad? You feel bad. Please don't make me roll my eyes. We're off and running. Whoop, whoop. Happy almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oakland A's fans, because they do exist, regardless of what you may think when you see the games on TV, they do exist. Nearly 28,000 of them showed up in a loud, raucous, defiant way on Tuesday night. And part of what we heard from them, and that came from the A's radio network, is sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. Sell the team. it's really precipitated a war of words. Not that it wasn't already taking place, but now it's become a little more public. It's been dragged out into the spotlight, or dragged out into the sunlight, if you will. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Why do I get the sense that when Rob Manfred says that he feels bad for the fans in Oakland, he doesn't actually mean it? Get this. He got a question from a reporter about that A's, the fans' reverse boycott on Tuesday.
Did you watch the Rays A's game on Tuesday when the fans came out for the reverse boycott?
I was actually at a dinner with the owners.
Did you read the coverage?
I did.
I saw the impression of that.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
What a jerk. Oh my gosh. Did you hear how cryptically and passive aggressively he said that? Oh, it's great to see almost what is an average crowd for one game, one night this year in the stadium. Wow. Wait, let's hear it again. You don't have to play the reporter's question again. I did. I saw it. It was great to have an average number of fans for one night for one game in the stadium.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
Oh, shut up. That was so greasy.
I was actually at a dinner with the owners.
He was being passive aggressive. His whole point was, oh, yeah, way to go, A's fans. You show up one time for one night and it's, oh, well, it's about an average crowd for any baseball stadium out there. As if the ownership bears no responsibility for fielding a crappy team. If you build it, they will come.
It's a great thing.
In the United States of America, we love winners. We will go to great lengths to shell out thousands of dollars for Taylor Swift tickets, for heaven's sakes. If you put a winning team on the field, people will show up. The Rays are a great example of that. How many times? The Marlins are a great example of that. Actually, Jay, if you want to look up average for the Rays and the Marlins this year. But the Rays, they have been the laughingstock for years because of their facility. I wouldn't say it's as much of, it's not a dump. It's just not a great baseball facility. It's not as in bad shape the way that the Coliseum is. But come on, how many times have we joked about how few Rays fans have shown up to games? And same thing with the Marlins. But the difference is when your team is winning, people want to go. Nobody wants to shell out their hard-earned money for a team that isn't competing intentionally. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When Rob Manfred talks about how he feels bad for the fans in the city of Oakland, well, you already know he doesn't because he's being passive-aggressive. But, yeah, he wants you to believe that his heart is for the fans in Oakland.
I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they
Lying.
Do. I think that the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer, okay? I mean, they never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just John Fisher. You don't build a stadium based on the club activity alone. The community has to provide support. And, you know, at some point you come to the realization it's just not going to happen.
That's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Hey, don't blame this on the owner. He can't do it by himself. He can't break ground all by himself. He's not going to pay for it all by himself. Although I'm pretty sure Stan Kroenke built SoFi by himself. Anyway, it's, in my opinion, disingenuous of Rob Manfred. He twists it pretty quickly. I feel really sorry for the fans in Oakland, but that's not the real question. The real question is this. Why haven't they had a new facility? Wait until you hear the response of the mayor. At least fans in Oakland, as well as fans who've ever visited the Coliseum, Jay actually has it on his bucket list, but I think you might be running out of time, Jay. We can agree that the Coliseum is not fit in its current condition to host a professional team.
The ballpark's not a major league facility. I've said it repeatedly. I think particularly I met down in a room kind of in the bowels of the stadium. You get on the bowels of the stadium where those where the clubhouses are. It's not a major league facility.
That we agree on. It's one of the reasons why the Raiders moved. They wanted a football-only facility, and they were tired of sharing with baseball. But it's not just that. The place is a dump. I mean, you hear stories about sewage, even raw sewage that overflows, backs up and overflows. The bathrooms are disgusting. The place smells. There's flooding. I mean, it's in terrible shape, and nothing's been done. And the A's have wanted a new home for years. And I'm not saying the city of Oakland is completely absolved in this. No, I'm not. Except you're only getting baseball side of the story. And when Rob Manfred says that this is not the outcome they wanted, that's BS. Of course they want to move to Vegas. Of course they do. They want to tap into what is right now a rich ground for sports revenue and sports fans. And the number of people that will travel to Vegas to see their teams play against Oakland, that's also something else they want to tap into. But are you kidding me? A brand new baseball stadium on the Strip with $400 million in public funding? Of course this is what they want. Not to mention they see Allegiant Stadium, the Raiders, and certainly the success of the Golden Knights, and believe that Vegas is, at this point, a market that has untapped and untold potential for a baseball team. That remains to be seen if it actually is true. But he's lying. He may actually feel some twinge for Oakland A's fans, but I don't believe for a second that they don't want this outcome, because if they didn't, they would have figured it out. Now, wait until you hear what the mayor has to say. She spoke up to a local news station, and she gives her version of the story. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, too, we're asking you, in light of a bunch of the different storylines and headlines that we've had around coaches and managers in the past, say, 6 months or so, and the fact that there are coaches and managers who can step into a situation, even if it's total chaos, and make a difference right away. It may not always result in a playoff spot, but in the case of Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, it definitely did. It may not necessarily mean that the team is a winner immediately, but they do make a difference. Upon contact, they make a difference. Marco, are you going to be in here next hour?
Of course.
Would you like some time to think about it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Marco's going to take some time to think about it, but you know he's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to coaches. He could probably name every single Super Bowl coach for the last 50 years if I gave him the opportunity. Remember, it was what, 2 months ago? This is even before Mark. Actually, his brain's probably fuzzy now from having a third child in the house. But he just rattled off every single Super Bowl matchup going back like 30 years.
Yeah, no, really I think I can go back to the beginning, but we didn't have time for all that.
No, we don't have time for all that. Okay.
Nobody wants to hear it.
But yeah. No, I love it. I'm very impressed by your encyclopedic brain. So yes, find us on Twitter or Facebook. Who are the best coaches / managers in sports? I don't care which sport, but the ones who make a difference right away.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer, okay? I mean, they never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just John Fisher. You don't build a stadium based on the club activity alone. The community has to provide support. And, you know, at some point you come to the realization it's just not going to happen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, who surfaces on Thursday to talk about the situation in Oakland. With the A's now appearing as though they will be the latest to bolt the area and head for Las Vegas. And here's why they've taken another step forward in Vegas, because the governor of Nevada has now signed the bill that the legislature passed, both sides of the legislature, the House and the Senate, they've passed it on to the governor who signed it, pledging nearly $400 million in taxpayer money. Oh my goodness. If you are a Vegas resident right now, I'd love to know how you feel about that. Maybe it turns out to be a huge revenue enhancement for the city of Vegas. But you all are committed. $400 million in taxpayer money toward what will be a brand new stadium on the Strip to house the Athletics. So all that's remaining now is the approval of Major League Baseball, which means the owners. What do we know about the owners? Most of them care about the bottom line more than they care about anything else. Because if one team makes money, they all make money. This would be the first franchise to move in nearly 20 years. And gosh, he may not mean it when he says it. I don't know if Commissioner Manfred is being sincere. I don't think he is when he says, I feel really sorry for the fans in Oakland. But they're now down, about to be down a second team. Both of them leaving the Coliseum. So there is a common denominator there. Mark Davis wanted to move the Raiders for a long time. Remember, he was actually the third owner who was on the out. When the two teams moved to L.A., if you remember, there was a fight over who would be the second team to join the Rams in SoFi Stadium. And Mark Davis desperately wanted to move the Raiders to Los Angeles, but he lost out. And there was a big political thing. The owners were garnering support here and there. They've got clicks. They call in favors. It's a old boys network in some cases, in some respects. It's not all men, but in some respects it is. And so they were all kind of sidling up and counting votes. And Mark Davis lost out, and he was mad about it. I remember he was really upset about the fact that it was the Chargers who got to move and not his team. So he was determined to go, come hell or high water. And now it seems as though the A's are as well. And baseball is obviously going to approve it. Because right now, Vegas is fire when it comes to sports. These other leagues and owners are looking at what's happened with the Golden Knights and the brand new stadium, Allegiant Stadium, that the Raiders have. And so, of course, this is where John Fisher wants to move his team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. According to Rob Manfred, it was just not going to get done. That at some point you have to cut bait. And so the league, as well as the owners, they tried. They wanted to get it done. It was never going to get done. That's baseball's version of the story, not the mayor of Oakland. Sheng Tao, she tells ABC 7 News in the Bay Area that the city obviously wanted to keep the A's.
It's been clear for a while that the owners of the A's wanted to move the team to Las Vegas or any other place, if we're talking about that, right? But we in Oakland now know better than anyone that there is a long pathway between passing state legislation, which we have, and shovels in the ground. And so I do firmly believe that the A's belong here in Oakland. And more than 20,000 fans this week agreed. More than 27,000 fans this week agreed. They showed up in a huge reverse boycott, which was extremely explosive and electrifying. And if the owners and league want a team in Vegas, sure, Vegas deserve a team, but they should also approve an expansion team and let the A's stay in their home of more than a half a century.
So she's saying there's more than one way to get to Vegas if you're a baseball. You can get to Vegas by granting an expansion team to the city, similar to what happened with hockey and the Golden Knights. She's saying, don't take our team, just add a new team. Now, that certainly is an option, but obviously upsets the balance right now. And it costs the owners money, right? And it also could cost them talent. So this, they believe, is the better option. She says the city wants to keep the A's, that they recognize that this is not an easy process, but that the reason why it was expedited for the team to leave for Vegas is because the owners want Vegas as a site. If they really wanted to stay in Oakland, they would. Once again on ABC 7 News in the Bay Area, Shang Tao. She tells her side of the story. So remember, Rob Manfred said that the city did not do enough. It's not just on the owner, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's her side of the story.
There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear every single hurdle that the ownership put in front of us, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize approvals. The reality in this is that the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail. Whereas in Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem to be satisfied with only 9-acre lease ballpark on leased land. If they had a proposed a similar project in Oakland as what they have proposed in Las Vegas, I can guarantee you that Oakland would have the construction would have already began.
That part of what she said blew me away. She's saying that the proposal that they had received from the team wasn't just for a stadium, right? It wasn't just 9 acres on which to build a stadium. It's one of these complexes that you see now. Foxborough's getting one, right? They're building all these shops and stores and even condos around Foxborough. It's more of a community. We know also that's the case at SoFi, right? There's a bunch of stuff around in SoFi as well. And even if it's not all put up, they found an area where they can build up around it. This is what a lot of these owners want, is to have it be a destination, not just for the team. Think about Atlanta, Truist Park. They moved it out of downtown and out into the suburbs because they've got the complex and kind of the area around it where people can go and hang out. And so she's saying if they had only asked us for what they're asking Vegas, if they'd only asked us for 9 acres and a stadium as opposed to condos and a shopping mall and all of the other extras, we would already have broken ground. Now, it's hard to know who to believe. I'm not in Oakland. Many of you are not in Oakland. But gosh, that ticks me off. If that's true, and the ownership and baseball wouldn't settle for anything less than a complex, then they didn't give Oakland a fair shake. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine, watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Well, whether it be upcoming life changes or ongoing events that may be causing you unhappiness, California Psychics is here to help you along the way and provide the joy of certainty through the insights of their psychic advisors. Since 1995, California Psychics has been the place where millions of satisfied customers have connected with some of the most experienced psychics worldwide, advisors who possess outstanding psychic abilities. Whether you want to unlock a mystery, clear a path, or just boost your inner power, their psychics are here to help you in matters of love, relationships, money, career, and all the things that matter to you. Talk for just $1 a minute. Your reading will be accurate and confidential with one of our vetted psychics. Find the answers today. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com to learn more. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. That's CaliforniaPsychics.com to connect with a California psychic advisor today. We've all got a lot going on in our lives. Maybe you just want a little extra insight. One place to get it, CaliforniaPsychics.com. Connect with that California psychic advisor today. One more time, CaliforniaPsychics.com.